Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, I'm Paul Listick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain. And welcome to the podcast. This week, folks, I want to start off with something, kind of an exciting program that is going on this weekend that I want you to know about that honors Chicago's architecture. And so I thought we'd take a little bit of a break from the political news of the day and do something a little more positive and enlightening, which is appreciate our own city of Chicago. And so there's an event called Open House Chicago coming up this weekend. Lots of other exciting things actually going on with the Chicago Architectural Foundation as well. I'm going to share that with you, but I want to get you ready for an event that you're not going to want to miss. And so joining me now is Eric Rogers. He is the manager for Open House Chicago. And Eric, welcome to the podcast. And I want to talk about this wonderful event. How many years has this been going on now?
Well, this is year number 7, and I'm really excited to be here. We want as many people as possible to know about the event and get out and explore the city this weekend.
Yeah, people who don't know it, don't know about it, they'll find themselves walking in front of a lot of the historical buildings in our city and seeing these lines of people waiting to go in and probably wondering, what are they giving away free? Well, the truth is, you are giving something away free, and it's the tours. And essentially, is this not an opportunity to see spaces and places that they otherwise would not be allowed into?
That's exactly right. This is really a weekend when a lot of buildings roll out a special welcome mat and, you know, invite Chicago residents as well as visitors to come in and see spaces. You know, sometimes there are spaces that you would have to pay to get into. Other times there are really genuinely places that you just can't access at other times of year. So it's really exciting the number of sites that we have on board, both downtown and out in the neighborhoods, that are willing to do that and excited to welcome people inside.
And as people do show up, first of all, let's just get some of the logistics out. We'll repeat them later. But I already said it's this weekend, October 14, 15, Saturday, Sunday. What time does it start? What time does it end?
So the program as a whole runs from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. each day, Saturday and Sunday. That said, different sites keep different hours. So I encourage everyone to either pick up a printed event guide, which is distributed by the Chicago Tribune on Thursday of this week, or visit openhousechicago.org, which has up-to-the-minute detail on all sites participating.
And then when people show up there, this is not a matter of, okay, we're going to open up. I'll tell you one thing I'm excited to see. I want to go. I shouldn't say this. I'll have a line around the building, but Tribune Tower, and you actually, I'm assuming this year, hopefully people get to see Colonel McCormick's office again, something you'd never get to see.
Tribune Tower is actually not on the list this year.
Oh, no, really?
yeah, you know, there's a lot going on with that building.
Well, that's true. Consider it sold, yeah.
That, we have included it in the past. I certainly hope that we will include it in the future. We do have a great relationship with the Chicago Tribune, and we're excited for the second year to be featuring the Freedom Center printing plant in the kind of northwest area of downtown. It is, however, one of our very, very few RSVP sites, and it sold out within a couple of hours.
Well, this is a popular event, I have to say. As much as I believe we're introducing it to people who don't know about it, the truth is people who know about Chicago's architecture are very well aware of this event. And where you say there's a sign up ahead of time, that they will do. So I'll tell you what, let me ask it this way, since I'm not going to get into my Tribune Tower office that I wanted to see, but that's okay. Tell me about a few things, Dan, that if I wake up on Saturday or wake up on Sunday and I want to go check it out, I can go check. I mean, I'll tell you one thing. Last year, I went to the Brewster, which is up in the Lakeview area, which is a building that they say Charlie Chaplin lived in. It's beautiful. It's a residence, and it's a beautiful sort of building, and it was really cool. And then as I talked to the docents who were on site, they sort of said, well, you know, we don't really know if Charlie Chaplin lived here. And I thought that was just important to learn, that sometimes there's architectural myths and things that people hear about, and the docents are all educated and certified and trained to know what they're talking about. What are some of the most exciting buildings you think people should think about this weekend?
Well, my strongest recommendation to people is to really explore outside of downtown. One of the things that sets Open House Chicago apart from a lot of our peer events in other cities, and there are 30 to 40 of them around the world, is that we have a neighborhood focus. And more than two-thirds of our sites are in 20 different communities outside of downtown. And especially if you're not patient and don't like to wait in long lines.
That's me.
Get out and, you know, go to a part of town that you've never been to. We're really proud of the fact that people use this as an opportunity to, you know, venture to a neighborhood that maybe they don't know that much about, or that maybe they've even heard bad things about in some cases. And, you know, go check out what's actually happening on the ground there, what there is to see. So, you know, in terms of specific buildings, you mentioned the Brewster and Lincoln Park, which there are a lot of myths about that, although there's also a lot of really fascinating truth to some of those myths. And it was used in the film of Child's Play. I can tell you that for certain.
Okay.
If you like the Brewster, go down to Englewood and see the Yale, which was actually our cover image last year.
Mm-hmm.
We're really happy it's participating again this year. It was built the exact same year, and it's actually kind of, I like to tell people that it's the Brewster's more cheerful cousin. It's a, you know, six-story apartment building built around a central light well. It's got railings with plants dangling from them. It's just really beautiful, and, you know, something that's totally unexpected.
And for people who might just be visiting the city, so maybe they're going to hang around the Loop or, you know, that sort of area, what are some of the cool buildings you might recommend that they check out? Because, you know, people who don't necessarily live in the city might not know the Reliance Building or very key things that they might otherwise know about.
So, yeah, we feature, I want to say, almost 100 buildings downtown. So there's a lot to see. And, you know, as you're walking around, you'll see lines in front of the buildings, or you'll see flags standing out on the sidewalk letting you know that you can come inside. But, you know, there are a few areas that have a lot of buildings sort of in a concentrated spot. So if you want to go there and then sort of make your game plan from there, several of our most popular sites every year are concentrated around LaSalle and Jackson. There's a cluster of great buildings, including the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, 231 South LaSalle, and, of course, on Sunday, the Chicago Board of Trade Building and the Rookery both participate as well. So it's a great opportunity to check those out if, you know, they've always been on your list. I also recommend just strolling Michigan Avenue. I mean, we have a lot of participating sites from, you know, on the south end. You know, we actually have the Field Museum getting involved this year for the first time ever, showing Founders Room, which is usually only used for private events.
Oh, cool.
We have a number of sites as you go north on Michigan Avenue, of course, here at CAF's current home at 224 South Michigan. We're participating as a site, and then there are three architecture firms in the building that are all worth visiting. And then further north, there's the Chicago Architecture Biennial. If people have been meaning to check that out, this is a great opportunity. And then right across the street at Millennium Park, this is always a family favorite. Pritzker Pavilion is letting people go on stage. So really fun faux op.
Can I, like, sing if I want to?
You could. I'm not going to promise you that anyone's going to listen or cheer.
Oh, all right, okay. Or that I won't get yanked off. I don't know.
There might be a line waiting for you. Though, okay. So people might be impatient.
Now, there's actually a lot of places, I mean, or I should say in all of these places, there will be a docent or two or more who are there to answer questions and to talk about these places.
It varies. Certainly at our most popular downtown sites, we have fully trained CAF docents on hand. At other sites, it may just be representatives of the sites themselves that are there answer questions. Yeah, it kind of varies. See, you know, well over 200 participating sites, CAF does not actually have enough active docents to, you know, have multiples of them everywhere.
Sure.
So we rely on the sites to tell their own stories. And I think especially once you get out in the neighborhoods, that is actually a great selling point for the program, because you're not learning about these sites from people that CAF sent there. You're learning about them from the owners, from the residents, from the church members, whatever the case may be.
This is great. Now, by the way, so are there any, we talked about getting that guide in this Thursday's Tribune, or going to openhousechicago.org, which is what people can do anywhere. But are there signs, like if you're walking downtown, are there signs that say, hey, today's open house, come in, or you really want to have that guide?
The guide is helpful because it has hours and a little bit of information about what you can expect to see inside, since you don't necessarily know from outside what that's going to be. But there is signage that we ask all of our sites to put up. You know, in cases there's a flag that they'll stand out on the sidewalk. In other cases, there's a vinyl banner that might be hung somewhere near the entrance. It really varies, though, the kinds of signage that buildings are able to display, kind of it depends on them.
All right. And tell me, Eric, Eric, if people that, again, do they have to register? So we told them where to go on the web, openhousechicago.org, but do they have to register to show up? Let's remind them about, you know, that there's no cost. So just give us some of those logistics again for how we actually participate.
Well, the best thing about the event is that it is totally free and open to the public. Like I said, there are well over 200 sites. There are a very, very small number of them that you either needed to RSVP in advance for, and all of those have sold out, also a very small number of sites that are only open to members of the Chicago Architecture Foundation, as well as our volunteers that are involved in the event there. And those are all clearly marked on the event guide, but the vast majority of sites, you can just show up during the hours they're listed as open. And you might have to wait in a line for a little while,
but it's worth it.
You can walk right in. And, you know, last year we had 100,000 people do just that.
Wow. Well, this is, I think, one of the great events of the year, which is, it's aptly named Open House Chicago, a chance to see buildings you'd never otherwise see, never be allowed to get in to see certain places. And this weekend, the 14th and 15th of October from 9 to 5, you actually get to go into these places, and what a treat that is. And I want to thank you for managing this program and having it grow every year. And Eric, next year, open up the Tribune for me, if you would.
We're working on it.
All right. I know you are. So Eric Rogers, thank you. But we're not done talking about the world of architecture and the importance of the Chicago Architecture Foundation, because I want to actually talk about a new project, something underway that's going to perhaps surprise folks who don't know about it, coming in the summer of 2018. And to talk about it is Dan O'Connell, also with the Chicago Architecture Foundation. He's the Director of Communication and Public Affairs. And Dan, tell me about the Chicago Architecture Center, because it doesn't get more exciting than this.
It really is a great moment for Chicago Architecture Foundation and for the city of Chicago. People are really familiar with CAF through our tours, through the CAF River Cruise, and through Open House Chicago, as you just heard. But we have never had the kind of facility that people could visit, see exhibits, and kind of mingle and discuss issues about the city of Chicago. And that's what we're going to be launching with the Chicago Architecture Center at 111 East Wacker, just at the corner of Michigan Avenue and Wacker, in the summer of 2018.
And in fact, actually, that's fantastic, because if I've got the location right in my head, you're sort of right where the dock is for the Chicago Architectural River Cruises, which everybody does, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Probably the most popular tourist attraction or tour in the city of Chicago. It's right at the base of the Michigan Avenue Bridge on the Chicago Riverwalk, which has been transformed over the last several years. And the new Chicago Architecture Center will sit above that, across East Wacker Drive, with a beautiful view of the Michigan Avenue Bridge, of the Chicago River and the Riverwalk, and of the Apple Store.
And by the way, even I think it's worth mentioning, we're all about architecture. So who's designing this building? Because you didn't find some student somewhere to put this together.
No, absolutely not. The building itself was designed by the studio of Mies van der Rohe, and to build out the interior, we brought on Adrian Smith and Gorgil Architecture, one of the Chicago's most prominent firms. And they will soon have the tallest building in the world when they complete the Kingdom Tower in Jeddah.
And so that, actually, I wanted just to be clear, also the Chicago Architectural Foundation, which in fact we mentioned the address earlier, 224 South Michigan, which is a Daniel Burnham designed building, the Railway Exchange building, that is moving, but yet into another masterpiece.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's what's remarkable about Chicago. The fact that we can move from a Burnham building, one of the iconic architects here in the city, and not just an architect, but a part of the Chicago's history with the Burnham plan, from the Burnham building here at 224 up to a Mies mid-century high-rise. That's the kind of exciting architecture and the kind of exciting city that Chicago is, the kind of exciting urban environment.
And that's going to move to, that's 111 East Wacker, it's One Illinois Center. When will that happen?
That's going to be in summer 2018.
Same time that the Architecture Center is opening.
Sorry?
Same time the Architecture Center is opening.
Absolutely. We're going to move at the just preceding it, so we're going to have a grand opening sometime in the summer of 2018.
Gotcha. Hope to be part of that and join you for that. Absolutely. I also want to talk about another project that I know you're very proud of. It's a graphic novel called No Small Plans. And, of course, No Small Plans is a phrase famous to Chicago architecture. Tell my listeners a little bit about why the title, what it is, and who that book is for.
Well, we began this. Many people know of us, as I said, for our tours and for Open House Chicago. But we also do a great deal of programming for young people, for education, on what makes a great city. We have 28,000 young people and families come through our programming every year. And what we decided to do honor our 50th anniversary last year, we decided to undertake the publication of a graphic novel that seeks to help young people in the Chicago public school system understand how decisions are made about building their neighborhoods and what they can do to influence those decisions. So it's a graphic novel set in the past, present, and future with characters, young teens, and how they make their lives in the city.
And the message, obviously, this is to introduce young people primarily, right, to this world of great Chicago architecture.
Absolutely. And it's being taught, it's being used in schools, in the classroom throughout the Chicago public school system, starting last month in September. And at this point, we've given away 5,000 copies to young people attending CPS. And over the next 3 years, we plan to give away 30,000 copies in total.
Now, just in case we have folks listening to this who may have kids, students, whatever, is this available to people? I mean, can they go to the Architecture Foundation office? Any other way to get it other than being a CPS student?
Oh, absolutely. It's for sale. And when you buy one, we're able to give one. So it's buy one, give one.
Oh, great.
And you can either visit our store here at 224 South Michigan, or you can go to shop.architecture.org and order it online.
Perfect. So much to talk about. See, that's why we didn't have time to get into, like, the politics of the day, because there was too many great things going on with the Chicago Architectural Foundation. So I'm going to kind of summarize by encouraging people to go to openhousechicago.org, check out this weekend's fantastic event of Open House Chicago, October 14th and 15th, and then keep an eye, go to the website over at architecture.org and take a look at all that's going on with the new Chicago Architecture Center and the move of the Chicago Architectural Foundation, all happening next summer. Can't come soon enough for me. And, of course, No Small Plans. What a great graphic novel. Get it for your kids. Get it as a gift. And when you get one, you're also providing one to a CPS student. Dan O'Connell, Director of Communications and Public Affairs, and your colleague, Eric Rogers, the manager of Open House Chicago. I thank you guys both so much for your time, and let's hopefully we've triggered some interest, more interest in Chicago architecture. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right.
So I'll ask you a better question. Why is it that white Protestant American Gentiles are the only happy people in America? Did you ever notice that? They don't know where they are. They don't know where they're going. They're always constant. They don't have a deal pending, a deal missing, nothing about it. But every Jew is walking around like this. Every Jew is walking. I got to become a partner in something. I don't know what.
Well, I'll tell you, if that voice sounds familiar to you, it's the voice of one of the great comedians named Jackie Mason, and I believe that little routine came from a show he did on Broadway called The World According to Me, which I saw in New York and absolutely was on the floor laughing the entire time. And as far as I view it, Jackie Mason, before there was a Jerry Seinfeld or a Larry David calling attention to all those very quirky realisms of today, there was decades earlier a Jackie Mason. And he's still around. He's 84 years old, whatever. But that's really not what we're going to talk about in this interview. I just wanted to make a connection with you guys to him so that you understand the foundation of this. Because joining me now is a woman named Sheba Mason. And she's coming to Chicago to do a show. It's a musical. It's the Jackie Mason musical. Actually, on one night, she's going to do her own stand-up comedy. We'll talk about all of that. But you might say, why is the connection? Because she is the daughter of Jackie Mason. But the story isn't that simple, as you'll see. Sheba, welcome to the podcast. I appreciate you joining me.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So, no holds barred here. We can just be honest and honest with each other all the way through, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So people who said, I didn't know Jackie Mason had a daughter. The truth is Jackie Mason didn't know Jackie Mason had a daughter, right? How did this all come about?
Well, he was with my mother for 10 years. You know, they saw each other for 10 years, and then I was born, and then he started to get really big on Broadway, and that was about it. He did, you know, it is proven in the court of law that I am his child, and we were on a bunch of shows when I was a baby, The Current Affair and Entertainment Tonight and stuff like that, and he did pay child support till I was 18.
So, but at first he was sort of denying it, and then it all went through the system, as you say, and then he had no choice. And am I right? You were like 26 before you ever met him?
No, I met him briefly once when I was 8. They took me to see, my grandmother took me to see his show. And she thought that, you know, it was time to kind of see where he came from and stuff like that. So I did meet him when I was 8 briefly.
You know, it was your mother, I'm sorry, it was your mom who I think was 26 when they met.
Oh, my mother met him when she was 26.
Right. I knew I had this 26 thing in my head going on. So we're going to talk about the musical, but, you know, to understand it, we've got to understand the relationship. So once everything came out, he provided child support. What relationship did you have? What relationship do you have?
Well, to be honest...
We want honesty.
It's actually getting a lot better. We're getting a lot closer. Like, last week, we saw him on the street. He actually recognized me.
That's a good thing.
And I know he recognized me because the minute he saw me, he ran the other way.
Oh, so that's how...
But like you said, you know, at first he denied it, and then when you saw a picture of me as a baby... It was like, I mean, I looked so much like him that it was, you know, impossible to deny.
You just didn't have the same dialect that he does.
Right. So that's the truth. We're not, you know, that close, but it's okay.
And so you put together that, now, by the way, I should say, you are a comedian, right? Is this because your father is Jackie Mason? I'm sure there's a gene in there somewhere. I find myself starting to do an imitation of him. It's hard to avoid that. And I should say, I know your father. We've gone out. We've spent some evenings together from deli to deli around the Chicago area, which is all he likes to do after shows. But
and this play shows that. It shows them going from, like, coffee shop to coffee shop. You know, there's a song in it called The Ode to the Early Bird Special.
Yeah.
You know, so it's funny, and it's a musical comedy, and it's you know, with a cast of 8, and it shows, like, a Rascal House waitress and stuff like that. It's funny.
And I want to talk about that. In fact, he would say, you know, he actually, a lot of celebrities, they don't like to be recognized. They go someplace, they're bothered when somebody comes up. Your father loves it, actually. In fact, if we would go into a place and they didn't recognize him, he wanted to leave. So...
That's so true.
Yeah, it really is. So first of all, you're becoming a comedian. I mean, obviously, your dad's Jackie Mason, so you become a comedian. But was it that simple, or because, you know, you could have been a doctor or something else?
Well, I was, you know, I did theater from the time that I was a baby. You know, like, my mother always was a playwright. So I started out as a stage prop in her play when I was 2. And then, like, she had a very early incarnation of this play. It didn't have any of the same songs, and it was really different. It had been through a series of revisions. And when I was born, and when I was 2, she was doing it in Miami Beach, and they would show me at the end of the play, like, here's the baby.
Right.
You know? So I started out doing that. Then I did a bunch of theater growing up. And then when I moved to New York when I was 18, I actually got a job as a waitress. You know, I went to college too, you know, Baruch College, a city school. And I got a job as a waitress at a comedy club, and I loved doing theater. And then the manager said to me, well, why don't you start, you know, taking a comedy class to see how you like it? And then I fell in love with it. And that's what happened.
And so, and of course, you make your own name in the business, but you know, because listen, some people don't want to be associated with a famous parent or a famous role they've had or whatever it may be. You're embracing it now. So you've written this show with assistance called Both Sides of a Famous Love Affair, the Jackie Mason musical. So is this the autobiography of Sheba Mason? Is that what we're going to see on stage?
Well, it's actually my mother did write the play. She wrote all the music and she wrote it. And I play my mother. And it's basically about their 10-year relationship, and it takes you all the way up until the time that I'm born. So it starts off with her meeting him in a coffee shop, and there's a guy playing Jackie Mason named David R. Gordon, and he says, why don't you, you know, they're sitting at Wolfie's Delicatessen in Miami Beach. He says to his friend, Willie, who he's sitting with, why don't you invite that girl over there to our table, ask her if she'd like to meet me and get a free dinner, you know? So it starts off like that. It takes you all the way through until, like, basically when I'm born.
So the show, and, because the show is not here yet in Chicago, so the show ends with your birth.
Right. And it starts, and it actually opens this Thursday, and it's 2 weeks, Thursday through Sunday, coming up.
Right. It's going to be, and we'll throw those details out. It's going to be at the Skokie Theater up in Skokie, where I grew up. Perfect place, by the way, when you're having a story of kind of this background, I think, up there. And we should mention people can get tickets at thejackiemasonmusical.com.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Just want to say that.
Or they could call 845-598-2850.
Yes, I was going to say that as well. And no, that's right. That's good. You'll say it. I'll say it. Everybody will say it. So, but not only are you performing for that period of time, but on one night, on October 18th, I think you take a break from that show to do something else.
Yes, I'm going to do, my stand-up show. Just because I'm a comedian, so I figured on the off night, why not have a show?
Right. So, and for that, people can check that out at SheebaMason.com. Sheba is S-H-E-B-A, SheebaMason.com. So what kind of style of humor is yours? If we come and see you, again, I think, let's be honest, a lot of people coming to see you, unless they're already fans of yours, but they're going to connect to your father. So is there a connection between your style of humor and his? Is it your own thing? Are you nothing like him?
Well, I've been told that I'm a little bit like a Jewish Betty Boop type.
okay.
reminiscent of Joan Rivers a little bit. Of course, I'm a little more modern, because you have to be. But I'm not, really, really filthy or anything. But I talk about everything from politics to being single in New York to grandma, stuff like that. Some family stuff.
Yeah, now politics, I'm curious to see how far the daughter fell from the tree because, I mean, your father is actually on Broadway when he was doing his stuff. You wouldn't really quite know which way he leaned, but if you watch him on television and talking, he's a pretty staunch conservative in his views, or at least that's certainly the way it plays. You can disagree with me if you don't see him that way, but do you fall on an edge of the spectrum or is it irrelevant to the comedy in your show?
Yeah, he gets – I know I've seen him get, really, really, really angry about stuff.
Yeah.
For me, if I do address politics, I always take a nonpartisan view because I don't desire to alienate half the audience. So
yeah, that's my job here at WGN, I got to tell you, right.
Oh, really? So I'm not here to preach. I'm not a political commentator. I'm not here to, make a statement. I'm just here to make people laugh. So, I have a joke about what Trump said about grabbing them by the you-know-what.
Right.
But it's very nonpartisan, and it's just funny. It's not, nobody ever knows my viewpoint.
Yeah, good. Well, and as I said, that is my role here because it's once, people will make assumptions anyway, just so you know. They do that all the time. You can do what you want to sound down the middle, but people will decide what you are in their own heads. You had a great line. This was about your father, though, but you said, I read this. Jackie Mason is a great comedian, but I wish I was the child of a better looking comedian, maybe like Woody Allen, Rosie O'Donnell. it was a great line. Is that kind of stylistic of the kind of humor we get from you?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Like I talk about how, my father was on the road a lot when I was a kid, so I was basically raised by a single mother, so my grandma was like a father to me. My grandma helped raise me. She's like a father to me. She even had the beard, stuff like that.
Yeah, and she actually might. I don't know. I mean, it's just, I grew up that way too. So home for you, and the whole style of comedy of your father, you live in New York, right? Because this is a very New York kind of style of comedy, I think.
Yeah, I have been told that I'm a very, I come across very New York,
That's okay. I like New York.
Yeah. Yeah, and I talk about dating a little bit and, I don't know what I can say on the show.
Well, let's not use bad words. It's a podcast, so you might be able to swear, but I once had an actress use a word she shouldn't. I think we bleeped it, but you can tell me something as long as you walk around it.
Oh, okay. Like I talk about, one thing I say is how every time I open up my email, I get these ads, for penis extensions, buy your penis, make your penis bigger. You know what I mean, And, I pick out a guy in the audience. And I say, save your money, take me out for sushi, I'll take 5 inches. Save your money, take me out to a fancy Italian dinner, I'll even take 3, especially if there's bruschetta.
So that tells me I should not be sitting in the front row on your stand-up night. That could be kind of dangerous. So coming to Chicago, as I said, Skokie, and I don't know how well you know Chicago or Skokie area. Skokie Theater is actually the perfect place for this show, to be honest with you. It's it's actually many years ago. It was the home of Holocaust survivors, many of whom passed on, but a very high level of Jewish residents in that population or has been. And was that, and obviously the style of the comedy style of your father's stuff certainly appeals to the Jewish community and others as well.
Sure. Yeah. That was definitely a decision-making factor. It is a night. It's a very Jewish area, and they are drawn to him. So hopefully, they're drawn to the show. Because of that.
I would certainly think so. And I want to encourage people to get tickets and not really wait because, once this thing sells out. And Skokie Theater can, I know some folks who perform there and things can sell out fairly quickly there. So especially since you're getting ready to open up. So. The opening date, let's go through the opening and closing dates. We had October 12th is when you're going to start.
Yep, October 12th. And then it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sunday matinee, and everything else is at 8 o'clock. And then it's the following week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and it's over that week, so it's over on the 22nd.
Okay. And also on the 18th, that special evening, if you and you'll love Sheba and you'll love the show, you'll want to probably just hear her own humor. So just mark your calendars that the 18th, and that's the only night you're doing that, correct?
Right. The only night. I mean, I was at Zany's last Saturday, but that's the only night that I'm doing my own show here in town.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah. Are you in Chicago already?
Yeah. Yeah. We're here rehearsing and stuff.
Oh, good, good, good. And the cast, I've watched some videos of the show and stuff. Does the cast travel with you as you take the show around, same cast?
Well, we recast most of the show, but we do keep the guy who plays Jackie Mason.
You have to, and he looks great. By the way, as I watch video of him, he looks great. I mean, it's just it's really a dead-on image. I got to ask you, I know everybody's wondering, has your dad seen the show? Has he talked about the show? Is he mad about the show? What does he think?
Well, you know, he doesn't really seem to mind the show because, you know, I do – occasionally, you know, you see him in New York. We don't talk that much, but I've never heard that he's really upset about the show, never got an attorney's letter. And he did give very – so that's a good sign. Right?
Yeah, it's a good sign when your father's not suing you, yeah.
He did see a very, very early incarnation of the show when my mother was still dating him, like 3 years into the relationship, very early incarnation. And he even made a speech before the show, and he was cute, and he said, I can't believe some yenta finds it so interesting – finds me so interesting that she's writing a whole play about me. I can't believe this. I'm so flattered, you know. So he was really cute about it. So I think in a way, you know, he either overlooks it or he doesn't mind it or, you know, how can you not be a little flattered that somebody, that you had such an impact on somebody's life that they wrote a whole play about you that they're doing for years and years and years.
This is true. And I mean, he has such a wonderful sense of, he's serious about some politics, but he's a wonderful sense of humor. I have to tell you, when I first met him, he was performing, when I first met him, it was in Chicago. I had seen him in New York, but we met in Chicago. And I'd given him my number. I said, you know, Jack, if you want to go out for a bite to eat, let me know. 2 hours later, he calls.
Wow, did you say the magic words, a bite to eat?
I didn't actually think it was him. I thought it had to be somebody kidding around. And he goes, hello, it's Paul, is this you? And I said, yeah. I said, Jackie? He goes, yeah, am I calling too soon? And I wanted to go to the pump room with him because, you know, I'm not a big enough celebrity to kind of command the pump room at that time, you know, booth one and all the fame with it. I said, Jackie, can we go to the pump room? He goes, yeah, we'll go wherever you want. And I pick him up. And as we're driving, he looks at me and goes, do we really have to go to the pump room? And I went, I don't want to. We don't have to. He goes, well, they've got 17 waiters, 15 busboys. Everybody's falling all over you, whatever. Let's just go to a deli. And so I never made it to booth one at the pump room. And instead it was, you know, delis all over the city. But, hey, that's life with your dad, right? You know that.
Yeah, he loves a deli. He loves delis.
He loves delis. Yeah. Any deli humor in your stand-up act, by the way?
A little.
All right. Put a little something about a kishki in there. It'll be fine. So, all right. You've got an eight shows starting October 12th to see both sides of a famous love affair, the Jackie Mason Musical. The website is thejackiemasonmusical.com. You can get tickets there or call 845-598-2850. The great thing about a podcast is you could rewind and pick up that number again. And you can also go to your site, ShebaMason.com, S-H-E-B-A, get that spelled right, ShebaMason.com, because I think that's where you can get tickets for the one night, right? The stand-up night?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And learn a little bit about you. Because I'll be honest, this was, you know, I mean, I always knew about you, and when you and I first talked, I told you that I kind of knew the story, but didn't realize your career had gone in this way. So I got very excited when I read about that, and I want to wish you luck and happiness. Chicago is a great – I hope while you're here, you don't just stay – Skokie's lovely. I'm not putting – I grew up there. But come on down to the city. Enjoy yourself and take a look around. This weekend, there's, you know, open house. You can see some buildings. Lots of – I'm sounding like your father. I'm noticing that I'm doing your father. I can't help it.
You did a great imitation, by the way, and I've heard a lot of imitations.
All right.
Spot on.
Yeah, it might be my background. I'm not sure. Sheba Mason, the show is Both Sides of a Famous Love Affair, the Jackie Mason Musical. Don't miss it. Go to thejackiemasonmusical.com. Check it out. I think it's going to be a ride. I can't wait to see it, and I thank you for giving me some of your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thanks. Take care. Good luck.
Okay.
Break a leg.
Bye. Thank you.
Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's PaulLisnek. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes. And tune in each week to hear more insider scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.